stand now where two roads diverge, but unlike the roads in Robert Frost's familiar poem, they are not equally fair. The road we have long been travelling is deceptively easy, a smooth superhighway on which we progress with great speed, but at the end lies disaster. The other fork in the road, the one less travelled by, offers our last, our only chance to reach a destination that assures the preservation of our earth. The choice, after all, is ours to make. If, having endured much, we have at last asserted our right to know, and if, knowing, we have concluded that we are being asked to take senseless and frightening risks, then we should no longer accept the counsel of those who tell us that we must fill our world with poisonous chemicals. We should look about and see what other course is open to us. These words, written by ecologist Rachel Carson, are, I believe, as relevant, maybe even more so, today as when they were first written in 1962. Hi, this is Jonathan Marks, and welcome to the On Your Marks Book Review podcast. This week I review the book Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. The book, published more than 60 years ago, was a brave, honest, and exceptionally well-written chronicle of the pernicious impact of insecticides and pesticides, most particularly DDT, on our planet. I selected this book for my reading project this year as I wanted to get as close as I could to the early stages of the environmental movement, something that I have come to understand more of through my journey into the whole food plant-based diet. While Carson doesn't beat the same drum as the vegan movement, they are in fact in symphony. Curiously, earlier this week in a London bookstore, I noticed Carson's book and then saw that it was part of a display of seminal works on the environment and environmental awareness. I snapped a quick pic of the shelf of books and have included a link to this from the podcast email for those looking for a longer reading list than I had supplied. I'll certainly be exploring a few of those titles in the year ahead. And as a disclaimer on the sound quality while I travel, it's been a challenge being away from the relative quiet of my home studio. This week in London has meant that I've been dodging rumbling trains beneath my hotel, and as luck would have it, on the night I'd set aside to record the podcast, the local classical music ensemble was using the hotel meeting room for their rehearsal. I was at least treated to wonderful chamber music, and at some point wondered if I should rather just record that and offer you that instead of my review. But in the end, you'll get a little bit of both, as I decided to include my favourite piece of classical music at the end of this podcast, the wonderful Cavallero Rusticano by Pietro Mascagni. Anyway, back to the book review. This book is essential reading for us all. What Carson describes is still happening today. While we may have greater knowledge or awareness of what is being done and the impact on us and on our planet, Silent Spring, according to Carson, compels each generation to reevaluate its relationship to the natural world. Rachel Carson was born in 1907, and was a marine biologist, writer, and conservationist, and is widely regarded as the mother of the environmental movement. She was born in a small rural Pennsylvania town and completed her MA in zoology at Johns Hopkins University in 1932. Having no academic mentor and no access to graduate funding in the male-dominated world of science research, she was unfortunately unable to complete a PhD. What Carson observed, according to the book introduction, was, and I quote, that the captains of industry took no notice of the defilement of her hometown and no responsibility for it. The experience made her forever suspicious of the promise of living a better life through chemistry and of claims that technology would create a progressively brighter future. End quote. She was employed by the U.S. Bureau of Fisheries, the forerunner to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as a writer, and thus began her long career in the service as both a scientist and an editor. She went on to become editor-in-chief of the service, overseeing all research reports and publications. Between 1941 and 1955, she wrote three books, which together constituted a biography of the ocean. This solidified her position as a scientist and as a science writer. She resigned from government service to devote herself entirely to full-time writing. And becoming aware of the growth and development and use of synthetic pesticides during the Second World War, she moved her attention to this topic. What began as a serialization in the New Yorker magazine, led soon after to the publication of Silent Spring. Within weeks, she found that she had touched off a national debate on the use of chemical pesticides, and in it the responsibility of science and the limitations of technological progress. What is intriguing about this, and why this book is so readable and informative at the level of the science, but also at the level of the disclosure that Carson provided, is that she was an absolute outsider without any real connection to the science community, not just because she was a woman in 1950s America, but because she had no affiliation with any academic institution. Coupled with this, her field of study and expertise, biology, was held in very low self-esteem by the science community, who had become enamored with the nuclear age. She noted with alarm the growing trend towards ignoring the environment in favor of profit, as she writes, and I quote, "Intoxicated with the sense of his own power, mankind seems to be going further and further into the experiments for the destruction of himself and his world." End quote. Silent Spring became the means by which Carson chronicled and was witness to the rampant destruction of the environment because of synthetic chemical insecticides and pesticides. So severe was the impact that Carson argues in the book, and I quote again, "Can anyone believe it is possible to lay down such a barrage of poisons on the surface of the earth without making it unfit for all life? These products should not be called insecticides, but biocides." End quote. Through the book, Carson shows, albeit with data and cases from the 1950s, that the air, soil, water, animal life, plant life, and human life have all been irredeemably impacted by the indiscriminate use of insecticides and pesticides. She describes that chlorinated hydrocarbons and organic phosphorus insecticides alter the cellular process of plants, animals, and by implications, humans. Science and technology, Carson alleges, have become the handmaidens of the chemical industry, rushing for profit and control of markets. Despite the careful presentation of her case, Carson was vilified by the science community. She was written off as a hysterical woman, a romantic spinster, who was simply overwrought. She was out of control and overstepped the boundaries of her gender and her tenuous grasp on science. The chemical industry responsible for the manufacture of DDT went further, spending at the time $250,000 to discredit her and malign her character. Sadly, Carson died just 2 years after the book was published, but her impact was powerful. 6 years later, the Environmental Protection Agency was formed, and America held its first Earth Day. Domestic production of DDT was banned by President John F. Kennedy, and while it was still allowed to be exported, meaning that the impact on the natural world continued, at least the USA was protected. The idea of Silent Spring is something Carson describes in the opening chapter, the idea of a spring emerging after a cold winter and finding that no birds, animals, or insects are left because we have poisoned our world. The silent spring, is what should shock us all into action. While it's unlikely that such a profound reality would appear in our world, the notion of silence from nature should be all we need to spring ourselves into action. Let's hope it's not too late. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's podcast. I hope that you have a wonderful week ahead, and as always, I look forward to any feedback you have. As promised, we close this podcast with Cavalera Rusticana. I hope this small, peaceful little bit of music gives you some pause in your day and maybe a moment to consider what you can do to continue the legacy of Rachel Carson.